Start the clock here. I don't get to go to very many services where I'm referred to as a big dog or a guru, so I'm very delighted to be here. And we'll just hope for the best. I actually came because I was hoping I could hear reverberating throughout the land those three great words, "Touchdown, Kansas City!" But it's not going to happen today, is it? No? It's an off day. Well, what are you going to do? We've been actually preaching in this church over the years. And I talked to somebody this morning. Of course, he was a child back then, which he made me feel really bad, but really old. But he's back in Central Assembly when you were at Blue Ridge Cutoff there. And back in, I think, 77 might have been the first time we were came in. You welcomed us then, and we feel your warmth today as well. This is great being here. We've been the Latin America directors, Latin American Caribbean directors, for the last 16 years. As of the end of this next month, December 31st, we're going to leave the administrative duties and go back on the front lines. That's kind of the way we're looking at it. And we just feel it's time to leave the administrative part in the hands of others. We enjoy doing ministry, and we just feel like God's got something really, really special just ahead for us. I'm excited about it. Let me share with you a couple of stories here from. This is from Paraguay. Teresa and Freddie Vasquez. Teresa's pregnant with number three to go with her twin girls. She's any day now. She's going to give birth. So they recently moved to Asunción from Concepción, Paraguay, which is way more rural than up north. And she went back to Asunción, Paraguay, with her husband and family for better medical care. And she wrote this on Facebook. Isabella and Ileana, that's her twin girls, had packed a small suitcase each with some toys that they wanted to bring to Asunción. Unfortunately, due to lack of space and Freddie having to carry everything down three flights of stairs, we decided to leave them. Upon arriving in Asunción, this is the conversation that took place. Isabella, "Mom, where is my suitcase?" "Me," she says, referring to, "we decided to leave it in Concepcion because we didn't have space and Daddy already had to carry so much downstairs." Isabella replied, "So you're telling me you didn't bring any toys? Mom, you've got kids now. It's not just you and Dad anymore. You got to think about these things, Mom. You've got kids now." I've seen those two girls in the last few months ago, and let me tell you what, we got some great missionary kids, and they're gonna turn the world upside down one way or another. Who knows? You remember some of these magnetic prayer cards, or at least you put them on the refrigerator with magnets? This is one I like. Dolores Simon says that she gave one of her prayer cards to one of her friends, and who attached it to the refrigerator. The little 5-year-old of that family said, "Mommy, who are those people?" "They're friends, missionaries, and we put this card on the fridge to remind us to pray for them." So the 5-year-old says, "I'll do that." And later she says, "Mommy, I prayed 9 times for them today, and by the way, we need more popsicles." Think about that a little bit. That sounds like there was some ultimate motivation here. My wife and I have done marriage seminars throughout most of the countries of Latin America and many of them of the Caribbean. And we were back for a repeat in Costa Rica here not too long ago. And so when you repeat, that means you got to add new stuff. And Cynthia's really good at it. She works hard at it. And they had said, "Come back, but do more." And so she got more intensive and more, you know, really into it. And she's a marriage therapist. Occasionally she does stuff for the National Institute of Marriage, which used to be called the Gary Smalley Institute. Well, anyway, Cynthia, why don't you come up here and tell that story? Because it's just very, very interesting, and I think you'll see why. Yeah, please welcome Cynthia.
Thank you. So the second time in this church, they said we need something different than the last marriage seminar. And our normal style is we have two chairs, and Dick is sitting about 75% of the time. I do most of the seminar, but whenever he stands up, I sit down, and he says significant stuff that the men really like, and, you know, it's important. So we kind of know how to go back and forth. Well, this other seminar, he had never been in on that one. It was based on other personality inventories and how to know your spouse better and that sort of thing. So since it was totally new, he probably didn't participate more than maybe 10% of the time. But I'm trying to, in the presentation, really include him in examples and, you know, let them know what a wonderful husband I have. So at the end, a woman came up to me and she said, "Oh, ojalá que mi esposo fuera como el suyo," which means, "I really wish my husband was just like yours," and made me feel really good. And I said, "Wow, this is nice. I communicated well." And I said, "Tell me, what is it that you wish your husband had, which characteristic?" She said, "Oh, I wish he'd just shut up and let me do all the talking."
Okay. All right. Everybody can serve as a model sometime. Being married to a therapist does, I get free therapy anytime, which is nice, but, and our daughter also is a marriage therapist, but a few weeks ago we were out in Oregon, Central Oregon, with all of our leadership team from Assemblies of God World Missions, and we were going in Central Oregon, and we had to fly to Dallas and Los Angeles, and then on a shuttle flight into Bend, or near Bend, Redmond Bend, and Ron and Penny Maddox, they're with Northern Asia, they were there and in the car with us, and we were talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject, we started talking about, Ron and I, about how we had mellowed as men, and we're not so aggressive, and we're just mellow. And we're just looking at this and thinking of the Christian virtue was kicking in, fruit of the Spirit's taking over, and we're becoming more sensitive males. And I'm sure she wasn't thinking really that much, but Cynthia just blurted it right out. She said, "As a matter of fact, research has shown that men mellow with age because they have less testosterone." And I'm going, you know, that's a real downer. I'm thinking I'm getting more like Christ, and she's telling me it's because we got fewer hormones working for us. I don't know. I want to read a scripture to you. This is kind of becoming, this is an ongoing process. When we transition out of our administrative responsibilities, go back to the field, and we have like 25 invitations already for next year. I feel like God is leading us in a certain direction, and here's what the theme is. It's from 1 Samuel 17:24, and it says, "Whenever the Israelites saw the man," that's the giant, "they all fled from him in great fear." Later on it says, "He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philippine cursed David by his gods." Now, in my mind, he crossed a line right there. And I'm sure David was thinking, "Big boy, you just blew it. If it's between you and me, you had a shot. But if it's between your God and my God, it's all over for you. You're dead meat." That's the way it comes across. He cursed him by his gods, and David said that. And you could tell, he says, "You come to me against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down, cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army," excuse me, Freudian slip there, "Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." See there? "And he will give you into our hands." Now here it is. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. That's my phrase. You're shifting from defense, where you're retreating and backing off, and all of a sudden you say, "That's it, big boy. I'm coming after you. I've got your number." And you run toward the battle line, you run toward the giant, you run toward the enemy. And that's the mode I believe God is speaking to us about. As a Philistine moved close, he ran quickly toward the battle line, David did. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it, struck the Philistine on the forehead. You know the story. The stone sank into his forehead, he fell face down on the ground. The strategy is to shift from defense to offense. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me, and because all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Jesus also said, "I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail." We never got beat up by the gates of hell. The gates of hell simply means wherever the devil is hiding, when he closes that door, it cannot remain locked. We are the ones that are on the offense. We're the ones looking for him. I think of Carlos Anacondia, that great Argentine evangelist who's been all over the world now, where the man said, when I asked him once, I said, why so many demon manifestations in your crusades? He said, because we have launched a frontal attack on the devil. I like that. When he says, oíme bien, Satanás. Hear me well, devil. That's the moment when you know something's going to happen. There are demons manifest all over the place when that takes place. We are not, the Bible says, of those who draw back. We are not of those who are retreat into to our loss. We are those who believe. It's not part of our DNA to back down. This is not a day. This is not a day to be backing down from the challenges that are in front of us. This is not a day to become defensive. There's nothing I hate worse in a football game. And when somebody goes lapses into some kind of prevent defense. How many of you are with me on that one? I think prevent defense is the stupidest thing that has ever been invented. The guy should be shot who invented it. But when a team has the lead or trying to protect the lead and you go into this back off and let them have anything in front of you and all of that, I think you're begging to lose. The prince of this world is judged, the Bible says. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven, he says. And behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, etc. Jesus went in to where the demons were exceedingly fierce, and they cried out, saying, have you come to torment us before our time? Have you come to torment us? They knew who Jesus was. Once he went into church, into the synagogue, and the demons cried out, and they said, leave us alone. Does that sound like they're all powerful and coming after us? No, that sounds to me like he's scared to death because he knows that Jesus has arrived. And that kind of a spirit needs to get in us, where we will not back down, we will not look at the enemy and not look at the threats that are in front of us and say, oh, well, I don't know what we're possibly going to do. This is a day to say, all right, we're taking it on. I know there's risk involved, but like Queen Esther, who saved her nation when she said, I'm going in, and if I perish, I perish. We take the risks. There are people that will probably lay down their lives, maybe even this year. We hope not. We pray for protection, but let me tell you something. This is not a day to heed the admonition of the devil to say, leave us alone, leave us alone, leave us alone. I'll come back to that later. This is a day to bind the strong man and spoil his goods and overpower him and take away that in which he depended. And we could go on that thing. But let me tell you something. This is a great day to be doing what we're doing. Now, one of the giants that we face is a giant of abuse. We just came back from Costa Rica a week ago. And Cuba just the week before that. And we were in an abuse and exploitation consultation with our missionaries. And we came back pumped because we realized we've got some people that have been unleashed to take it to right into the face of the devil. And I'd like my wife to just share with us, tell us a little bit what's happening in this terms of abuse and how you see it. You deal with people all over the place in your seminars. They come to you afterwards for private consultations. So tell us what's happening.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody was wondering why I was waiting there. He told me to wait. It's a huge need, a crying need in our world. You know it happens throughout the United States and Latin America with the machismo factor that plays into the culture. It's an unspoken, in many cases, situation. And we have ministries that are rising up today to just turn the lights on in the darkness, to say we're going to break the silence. And I'm part of a ministry team. Renee West is an incredible missionary woman who has suffered both sexual abuse as a child as well as family violence. And she speaks to both of those issues. And we were at an event recently in Santiago, Chile. And the women on the team, those of us who were participating in the event, the workshops and that sort of thing. Renee is the main speaker. But every one of us were used throughout the whole time, from morning to night, because of the individuals that would come with such painful situations, they needed to be dealt with individually. I was going to be doing another session, so I had a break, but the workers came and said, there's a mother and daughter that just needs immediate attention. Can you break free? And I said, of course. So I talked with this mother. The daughter was sad, but the mother was terribly broken up. And she told this situation. The daughter was, she had gotten pregnant, and and it was by a family member, and they were now raising this child together, and the father of the baby was in jail. And looking at the girl, understandably, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. But then after dealing with her for a while, I talked to the mother and I said, what does this mean to you? How is it so deep in you? Where is the root of your pain? And she said, it's that the father of the baby is my husband. It was her father. And I didn't protect my daughter. I was trying to make a better life for her. I was out working. I wasn't home. We have ministries. Just yesterday or a few days ago when we were in this consultation, we know of a ministry that is starting in Costa Rica for the girls, the latchkey girls in our Latin America child care schools, that the hours that they are sexually abused by predators and family members are between the hour they get home and when mom gets home from her job. And all these ministries that are just starting to energize, knowing of each other and that we're working together and developing materials and helping girls realize that they matter and that they can say no and that they can protect themselves. And the percentages are increasing in the schools of really addressing the issues, and we want to be part of the solution because God cares.
Thank you, Cynthia. We just believe that this is a day to take on those giants. Somebody's got to do it. Listen, this spirit that got into David when that giant cursed him by his gods, and David just, it was like something filled him. It just enraged him almost, if you wish. I think this is something that I'd love to see in our churches here in the state. I love to see it wherever, where all of a sudden people are, you call it campaigning or crusading or whatever you want to call it. I just look at David and I say, this, whatever inspired him to just say, that's it, it's over, big boy. I'm coming after you. And just run at him. Run right at the enemy lines. Everybody else is running from him. And David decided, I'm going to run toward him. And I think this is a day, I'd love to inspire, and I hope I have a little bit. We certainly have a lot of great missionaries in Latin America and the Caribbean. I see that you support a few of them as well, and I hope many more over the years that come. But I think it's a time to switch from defense to offense. You remember when Jesus was out where all the people were, and he's healing everybody and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, his disciples tagging around after him, and when he was, and he looked around and he said, he saw the people, they were harassed, the Bible says, and they were helpless. They were being assaulted. The word harassed is very strong. It's like the World Wrestling Federation or whatever it is, where you pick them up and slam them down. That's the strength of the verb there. Harassed and helpless. Helpless because nobody cares. It's one thing to get beaten up. It's another thing to be ignored. Nobody gives a rip what happens to you. And I think that's kind of the situation that Jesus saw. And he looked around and he said, look at all of this hurt. Look at what's happening. It's time to do something about it. And then he looked at, he said, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. I need some help here. I can't go doing this all by myself. I need to help, some help. And so he said, how many here want in? And they responded. Therefore, the Bible says, he said, beg the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And that's a strong verb also, ekbalo. It means to thrust out. It's the same word that's used the next chapter where he says, cast out devils. So whatever strength you attribute to casting out devils is the same strength that God uses to really speed this process up and thrust out the laborers. That's what it's all about. And Jesus said, now, he gave them authority. And he said, go and drive out devils. Run them out of town, unclean spirits. And he says, wherever you go, plant yourself where the darkness is and make this declaration. The kingdom of heaven just arrived. You said, well, how? You say, well, that's really arrogant. No, it isn't. If you're the only light in the darkness, you better be prepared to let that little light shine, my friend. If you step into the darkness, I don't care where you go. If you go in the rough part of town, or you go to where the prostitutes are, or you go, you know, somewhere where people are in crisis all over the place, and you're the light that's shining, let that light shine. Declare the kingdom of God is here. At least say it in your heart. I'm here as God's representative. I'm here to cleanse the leper and to heal the sick and to cast out devils, and whatever has to happen, I'm here to do it. That's the day and age in which we live. It's time to do it. Amen. People are being abused. We have need some Davids to take on the giants. We were just in Cuba, and I think it was mentioned that Cuban people have, the laws have changed. Oh, we were talking about it to the prayer group this morning. The Cuban laws have changed, and now they used to not be able to leave the country. If they left for too many months, they'd lose their citizenship, they'd lose all their anything they owned, all their property, and whatever they might own still. And now the laws have changed, and they're very aware that they're preeminently prepared. They're professionals. A great revival has swept Cuba. About 80% of them are graduates out of the university system. I've been there. I've watched them. I've seen them. I've gone to their graduations, and I see what's taking place, and I believe that this is a great day for Cuba, and they want to do missions. They've invited us to be part of that formation process. Their goal is to raise $100,000 this coming year to send their missionaries. They had the first couple going to the Shuar Indians of the Amazon jungles in Ecuador. God is raising up people. We just had our candidate time orientation about a month ago. And we have one gal in there. She's going to Ecuador. If you got on her Facebook, you'd find Caitlin Louise Martin. And Caitlin Louise, she's something else. When she told us her story, she's got this smile. And you see this on Facebook, all these children around her. She told her story. She said, I was 13 years a heroin addict. 13 years. I ended up in prison. I was pregnant in prison and gave up my child for adoption. Man, I couldn't take it anymore almost at that point. But she's on staff at a church out in North Carolina, and she's the children's pastor out there. Now she was called to Ecuador, and you go on her Facebook, and it says, religious views, quote, washed in the blood. I there's something about this gal that... giving up her child for adoption and in prison however many months she was there. And she said, I'm so happy God dropped me into this AGWM. I love it. So awesome. Everybody's funny, loving, gracious. I'm keeping that in case we forget. That's such great roots, she says. And we're seeing it happen. We're seeing people that are wanting to do things they've never done before. I've got some dreams. I don't know how far this is going to go. I think of that woman who wasted her a year's worth of salary on perfume just to wash Jesus' feet and dry it with her hair. And the people said it's a waste. It's a waste. In fact, we had an interesting discussion yesterday. Cynthia said, my teacher, my professor, she does something by Skype every week from Costa Rica. And she said that my professor says, no, that word extravagant can't be used about God because it has a negative connotation. I said, that's precisely the problem they had back there. They said, this is waste. You're wasting perfume. You're wasting a whole year's salary just to put it on Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, oh, let me correct you. That extravagance, when it's done for God, is huge. It's huge, and it's positive. And I just, once in my life, I'm saying, God, you lead me, you guide us. And we've done some things over the years. You know how you do. You got kids in ministry, you do some stuff. And I'm saying, God, sometime, somewhere, I want that spirit of that woman. I want to run at the devil so hard. I want to do something that's just, that will come. The Bible says the Son of Man appeared to destroy the works of the devil. I want to just destroy. I want to disarm. I want to take apart, dismantle his whole operation somewhere. I want to give in such a way as it just blows everything out of the water. And I think this is a day to say, God, why not? Why not? We just had a guy, don't know who he is. Nobody told us. Assemblies of God Financial Services called us up and said, we got $1 million from a donor, anonymous donor. He wants to give $1,000 to 1,000 missionaries. I made a lot of missionaries really happy. And I'm going, that's extravagant. I was down in Buenos Aires in September for the dedication of a new building. A pastor had raised $1 million for their new building and had a building fund. They'd already spent like $600,000 of that on plans and project parts, and guys, architects and all that. And you know what he said? He said, you know, God spoke to me when he got down there and saw what was happening in the Bible school. And he came back and he challenged the people. He said, what do you say we give $100,000 of our building fund, which we don't have enough of anyway. They had $400,000 left. Let's give $100,000 of it to that Bible school down there. And he was down and preached the dedication of that new building. And I thought, here's a guy who's living in an adventure right now. His congregation like unanimously said, let's do this. Who does that kind of thing? Well, who wastes a whole year's full of year's salary on perfume on for Jesus' feet? Who does that kind of thing anymore? I could use $1 million if I had it. Would I give it? If I had a building fund, would I give $100,000? I don't know, but it's a great day. It's a great day to just say, let's go for it. Let's just embarrass the devil. Let's just blow him away and go on, helpless marriages. We need to help those who are, the word broken was used to describe us. I just, there are groups, and with this I close. One of the things I want to do is go to some unreached people group somewhere out in the jungle. I've been to the Shuar Indians in the Amazon, flown in there, and it's a special thing. But I'd like to be the first one there sometime. Why not? Why not? What am I going to do? Sit in a rocking chair somewhere? No. You can look it up. It's about 5 minutes and 50 seconds long. It's called The Enemy God. It's a trailer for a movie done by some Christians for the Yanomami tribe. Now, Bob Holloway, and I think he may be one of your supportive missionaries, I'm not sure, but anyway, maybe not. But the Holloways have gone and tried to get in there. They're protected. It's leave these people alone. Leave these cultures alone. The Yanomamis, and this is the Yanomami shaman chief who's telling his story. He said, I want my story to be told. They tell us to, they say, leave them alone, leave them alone. He says, I want somebody to listen to us. He says, when I was in trances and the demons were speaking to me, they would say, yes, there's a creator God out there. He said, sometimes I saw that bright light of that place. He said, that yes, there's a creator God, but he hates you. That's the title of the movie, The Enemy God. He hates you and has a lousy plan for your life, if I might add. He said, and you come along and you say, yes, there's a God, but he loves us. Who's telling us the truth? Who's telling us the truth? Let me tell you, most of those unreached people groups, most of them live in fear because they don't know what comes after this life. They don't know that there's a God who loves them. They've never heard of a man called Jesus. Some of them have never seen a Christian. They don't know what that's all about. You had more truth the first day you went to Sunday school than most of these people their whole lives. You know more. You have a personal relationship. You can say, let me tell you about Jesus. He loves you. He doesn't hate you. He's not out to kill you. He's here because he loves you, and he sent me because he loves you. I think this is a day for some of you to say, here am I, Lord. We need medical people. We flew into that Shuar village, and there were women that were wailing in the background. Why? Because the 12-year-old son of one of them died from a totally preventable disease. And I just say, why wasn't there somebody there to tell them, here, take this pill and get rid of those parasites, or let me help you with a little bit of knowledge of health and all of this. I just think it's a great day for us to say, Lord, I want to do something to make a difference in the world. I challenge you today as you partner with these people, adopt them is the great word. Or as you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What can I do? What can I do? We need some young people. We got a ton of them that came in on this last candidate. We had the largest candidate orientation class ever this last a month ago. And I think we're in for bigger stuff ahead. I don't know how it's going to happen or how it's going to play out, but this is an exciting day to be involved, and I want you to be part of it. Why don't you join me? I'm going to do it. Cynthia and I are going to do it. Why don't you join us and just run right at the enemy and say, enemy, here we come. Look out. Look out. Pastor, if you will, come, please.